You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Well, everybody ready for the Word?
Amen.
Ready for a good Word?
Amen.
Good. Well, I got a good one for you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 30. We'll just start there. You know, Sunday we taught on going from victory to victory. And you know, if you'd like to hear those again, we our CDs are like a dollar. DVDs are $5 for it. And if you get a DVD, you get a CD free with that. But, I mean, come on, you get a CD for a dollar, got a good message on it. That's nothing. That just really, we got them down cheap so we just to pay for what we do. I mean, it just basically pays for all that we do to it. We don't make any money off that. But if you'd like to take advantage of that, any of these all messages are recorded. Yeah, they're online also. In fact, if you have a computer, you don't have to buy anything. You can go online and listen to them live. You can watch them. They're, you know, it's a little delay. We're like, we don't have them up right away. But the audio usually goes up that week, and the video goes up, you know, a few weeks behind. But there's messages for, like, I think, 7 years of messages on the Internet. If you're so inclined, you have the time, you know. Since 2007. Yeah, just amazing. Anyway, everybody found it in your Bible, Psalms 30. Okay, I want to talk to you about, trials, tribulation, adversity, coming out of it. You know, every message about pain, every message about suffering, every message about tribulation from a biblical standpoint should always end up or should always have a theme of getting out of it. Now, God's not into you suffering. Now, we're going to suffer persecution. We're going to suffer that. I mean, that's something we all go through. If you're a Christian, you stand up for Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. They that live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, shall suffer persecution. But God has answers. He has answers for debt. He has answers for sickness. He has answers for depression. He has answers for the physical pain. Are you with me? And things that are directly from the devil or a result of sin, Adam's sin, when this world was created, Adam sinned and death came into the world. God's made provision for all that. Are we going to struggle? Yeah. Are we going to have obstacles? You bet. Are there battles? Sure there are. We're in a broken, fallen world. But the good news is our God is greater. Hallelujah. The good news is there are provisions. You know, there's a lot of things go wrong in your life physically. And if you don't even know the Lord, we have things called hospitals and doctors and medication. And the wise thing to do would be go get some help. Amen. Don't stay in that pain. Don't stay in that sickness, especially if they have a cure or surgery or something that you can go get some help to get out of it. Well, God has help in every situation. And we need to really get into the habit of coming to Him. We're not against doctors. We're not against medicine. I believe in them. I go to doctors. I have a philosophy. It's real simple. I don't want to die. And if something's not working, evidently I'm not believing as I should. I don't blame God. I don't believe it's His fault at all. But I'm not going to stay around here and die for lack of faith when I can go to the hospital and get some help. That went over real big. Are you out there? That would just be crazy to do that. Leave my grandkids without a granddaddy, my mama without a son, she's still alive, and Brenda without a husband, and you without a pastor. You know, just say, well, I'm just going to believe God. Well, if it's not working, go to the hospital and get your faith built up, but don't die on us. Are you out there? You know, some things are just not that big a deal. Just take the medicine, go get it done, get it out to you. The end result is you're going to get well. Amen? Y'all out there, I don't know where people get the idea if you believe in healing, you're against medicine in the hospital. I think if you don't believe in healing, you should be against medicine in the hospitals. If you do believe in healing, you ought to be for anything that can help you, any good you can get from anybody. You know, we believe in prosperity. That means we believe in giving to the poor and helping people out when they're in bad shape. That's what the food bank's all about. Hey, we had 107 families this week in the food bank. But, you know, we believe in helping the poor because we believe in prosperity. We don't believe God wants them to stay that way. We don't believe it's God's will for them to starve. That's why we give them food. If we thought God wanted them poor, we wouldn't give them anything. If we believe God wanted us poor, we wouldn't go to work and get ourselves out of the will of God. Come on. If I thought God wanted me sick, I wouldn't go to the hospital. If you think God's making you sick and for his glory or for some higher purpose, then what in the world are you doing taking medicine and going to the hospital for, trying to get yourself out of the will of God? It makes no sense whatsoever. And we all know that better than we think we do. God is good. Amen. And God, when God comes on the scene, it's evident. In the Bible, Genesis through Revelation, especially in the New Testament, we get the clearest picture we can ever get through Jesus. When God shows up, something good happens. When God shows up, a need has been met. Someone's been set free. Somebody's been delivered. Some sickness has been healed. Some lost person's been saved, or someone in sin's been forgiven, put back on their feet again. Eyes that are blind now see. Legs that are crippled now walk. Hallelujah. Storm stop. When God shows up, it's evident because God has a mark on him. He has a stigma, I guess, in a good sense. God is good. And so every time God shows up, something good happens. And what's going on with the world, what's wrong with the world, is not what God's doing. It's the absence of God. You know, I think all things are going in different cities and different countries, and people want to blame God when a hurricane comes through, a storm comes through. But it's amazing to me how we'll push them out of our schools. We take the Ten Commandments out of our court system. We take prayer out of schools. Are you with me? We try to separate that from everything that has to do with our country. And then when something bad happens, we wonder why God did something. God didn't do something. God wasn't there to do anything. It was the absence of God that causes pain and tragedy and all that, not the presence of God. And if ever we need him now. Amen. All right, having said all that, I'm just treading water. Psalms 30, verse 11. I love this. Now, I'm reading out of New King James. King James. It says, "Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing." Mourning, weeping, sorrow. "Thou hast turned my mourning," thou, God, speaking of God, "turned my mourning into dancing." Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. "And thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." I love that. See, God takes situations in your life. You may be going through a trial, I don't know. You may be going through pain, I don't know. You may have an obstacle on your horizon, seemingly insurmountable, I don't know. You may be hurting, you may be in debt, you may be fighting depression. But I'll tell you, God takes those things and turns them around. He doesn't do those things, he turns them around. When God shows up, just like I said earlier, it's evident good things happen, amen? In fact, he will turn sorrow, weeping, into dancing. Now, I've wept and I've danced, and dancing's a whole lot better. I didn't quit dancing when I got saved. I just changed partners. Dance with the Holy Ghost. I didn't even quit drinking when I got saved. I just changed drinks. I drink new wine. The wine of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Be ye filled with the Spirit." Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody to your heart and your Lord. What he was saying was, don't be drunk with wine. One translation, the Phillips translation, says, don't get your influence or stimulus from wine, but get your influence and stimulus from the Holy Ghost. Woo! I love that. Isn't that good? But here, God turns things around. He is the God that turns things around. That's who God is. I don't know what you're going through, but I know this God, our God, my Father, your Father. Ever since you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, your God is the God who turns things around. He turns mourning into dancing. He puts off your sackcloth and he girds you with gladness. Changes your whole attitude. Changes your whole perspective on life. When you're just running through life in the mully grubs, that's an old word, down and out, you know, you can now run through life with joy, with an expectancy and a hope. You know things are going to turn around because he's the God that turns things around. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. He goes on and says, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto you forever." These are things you don't need to be silent about. You know, I love it when things turn around, don't you? Maurice was pretty happy when he got that job. Yes, things turned around. Turned around. It was tough. I mean, he was looking for a job, trying to get a job. And, you know, he got one job, but he needed another one. And he was believing and praying, and we prayed. And you know what? It turned around. It turned around. Because God's the God that turns things around. Hallelujah. I mean, we can go through different people here. Any one of you could stand up and testify. Maybe a trial you went through, a battle you fought, or the devil threw everything it got at you, but you stood at your ground, you believed God, you prayed, and one day it turned around. Oh, hallelujah. And he turned your morning into dancing. It just makes you happy, you know. It makes you excited. You get all thrilled about what God is doing. Where there was sorrow before, you know, if you continue to believe God and trust God, he will turn your sorrow into joy. Turn it around. In fact, this used to be a song we sang. You remember that song Evil used to say? I don't know if we sang it here or not. Thou's turned my mourning into dancing for me. Thou's put off my sackcloth. Thou's turned my mourning into dancing for me and girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise unto thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Anybody remember that song? Nobody remembers that song. Come on, Eva, you remember that song. You remember that song. Anybody else remember that song? At Lakewood, we used to sing. When we started going to Lakewood in 1975 is when we started going there. I got saved and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost that year. And we started going to Lakewood Church. John Osteen was the pastor. That's Joe's dad. At that time, the song leader's name was Tom Love. And back then, CBs were real popular. His handle was the Lakewood Leaper. That's what they called it, you know, because they had exciting worship services. But they sang out of the Bible. They didn't have hymnals. They didn't have any books. And they called it the King James Hymnal. That's what they called it. They'd tell you, turn your Bibles to Psalms 30, verse 11. And we'd start saying, we had a lot of songs we sang like that. Psalms 1 was another one we sang. But this was right. And one thing for sure, when you sang it, you remembered it. You know, when you sing a song, you remember the words to a song. So singing the word is one way to remember the word. So we had lots of songs that we sang right out of the scripture, and it was just awesome to go there. I remember I spoke at, I was a young man. I spoke at Rice University, had a class on the charismatic movement. And they asked the leaders from all the big Pentecostal charismatic churches in Houston to come. And Brother Osteen, he didn't really like doing things like that, so he sent me down there. I mean, I was like 22, 3, I was just a young buck, 23 maybe. So I sat down there, the pastor of one of the biggest Pentecostal churches in Houston, and there were several others there, and they would ask us questions, and, you know, what is this thing, this charismatic move, what do you do? And, of course, I just kept pointing back the Bible. I remember telling them, well, we sing right out of the Bible. I said, we just use the Bible as a hymnal. We do everything we do according to the word. And, you know, as far as speaking in tongues, that's what the Bible says to do. We believe that. It's in Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Acts 9. I was just quoting scriptures just like that, you know. And what was so funny, the hour session before the one I was in, they had the television ministries in there. And the First Baptist television ministry guy was there. Reverend Stevenson from Long Point Baptist. John Bassanio was there. These were big names back then. And some of them stayed in there for that session. And so they started talking about tongues and salvation, and some of the Pentecostals were saying you had to speak in tongues to be saved. And, of course, I said, no, that's not the case at all. And I began to just lay out scriptures, 1, 2, 3, you know, how to be saved and how tongues, it said nothing about tongues, nothing about speaking in tongues there. Tongues is a separate experience. It's after you're born again. And I was just quoting scriptures left and right. And when I got through, Reverend Stevenson from Long Point Baptist walked up to me. He said, you tell John Osteen I said hello. He thought that was so good that I stood up on being saved by grace and not by works and not by tongues. But he sat there and he listened to that whole thing. I thought that was so cool. Anyway, I got off on that. Thou has turned my mourning into dancing. Amen. Turned it. Well, I don't know what you're going through, but let God turn it around. He's the God of the turnaround. Amen. Turn to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. You know, I actually went to a Three Dog Night concert. Jeremiah 31. Back B.C., before Christ, I actually listened to Three Dog Night. Went to a concert in Shreveport, Louisiana. We won't talk about that. Jeremiah 31. Hey, I had a turnaround. God got a hold of me, turned me around. Amen. I got saved. Hallelujah. Turn me from lost state to saved state. Turn me from hell to heaven. Hallelujah. From darkness to light. Jeremiah 31, notice what it says here. And he's talking about when God visits Zion, when he turns things around. And the 13th verse says, "Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old men together, for I will turn their mourning into joy and comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrows." Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that a good one? I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them, and I will make them rejoice from their sorrow. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what kind of sorrow you've been going, what's been on your mind or in your brain, what warts at you, what gnaws at you in the night. But I know God can turn the thing around. Amen. If you'll come to him, that's what he does. He is the God of the turnaround. Incidentally, we used to sing this song too. Hallelujah. I don't know if that was a sign not to sing this song or what that was. This is one of those old Jewish songs we sang with a Jewish beat. "Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old men together. La 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 la. And I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them, and they shall rejoice, rejoice, rejoice from their sorrow. And they shall rejoice, rejoice, rejoice from their sorrow." Hey. Everybody say, hey. Hey. Okay. But there was a Jewish clap to that, too, I think we went sang with that song. But the whole thing is about God turning things around. Psalms 126, turn there. I just want to encourage you tonight with this. Don't forget who we serve here. Don't forget what he does. He delights in turning things around. You know, Balak the king tried to get Balaam the prophet to curse Israel in the Old Testament. And Balaam couldn't do it. He just could not do it. Every time he prayed and talked to God about it, God says, no, 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 no. And God turned that curse around to a blessing and bless them. God turns curses into blessing. You remember Joseph's brother sold him to the Midianites, threw him in a well, sold him to the Midianites, told his daddy he died. And then he got over there, and what wound up happening, God promoted Joseph in prison. He wound up being the right hand of Pharaoh, the right hand man to Pharaoh, rode in the second chariot, and did all any business that took place in Egypt. Joseph did it. He was the man over all of Egypt besides Pharaoh, only in name. And when the famine hit that land, 2 years into that famine, Israel came in and was spared because of Joseph. And it says what they meant for evil. This is what the Bible says. And Joseph told his brothers, says, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good to save you this day." He turned it around. God didn't do that, but he turned it around. And what the devil means for evil, God can turn for good. The scripture tells us that he can make, you know, all things work together for good for them that love the Lord. Now there's a qualification there. All things don't work for good, period. Because you don't have to have brain, have to have half a brain to figure that out. There's a lot of tragedy in the world that doesn't have a good end. But the Bible says all things work for good for them that love the Lord, that are called to his purpose. In other words, if we pray in the midst of it, God can turn it around. Now, if you don't pray and believe God, it'll just, I know people that have had tragedy that have come to God. I know people have had tragedy that left God, got bitter and never came back. So you can't say God sends tragedy to bring us to him. No, no, no. Tragedy is a result of sin. Not always ours. Could be the world we live in. But if you want it to turn around, go to God. No matter how bad it is, no matter how big a mess you got, God is the God that turns things around. And he can make a message out of that mess. I love that. The only difference between mess and message is age. Isn't that right? Give it a little time. If you keep believing God, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep standing on the word. Then in time, with a little age, that mess will be a message that you can share, hallelujah, with people. Oh, I love that. Praise God. Psalms 126. Now this is where they actually were redeemed from captivity. You know, they went into Babylonian captivity. You know, there were the reign of the kings, Saul, then David, and Solomon, and that was the United Kingdom. And then the kingdom was divided between the north and the south, and they had kings of the northern tribes, Israel, often referred to as Israel, and kings of the south, often called Judah. And the kings of the north eventually were taken off into captivity, and eventually Jerusalem was overrun by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Present-day Iraq is where that is today. And they went into captivity for 70 years. Daniel prophesied that that would happen, and they went into captivity, and they were in servitude in Babylon for 70 years. But they returned, and they rebuilt Jerusalem, the walls of the city, the temple, after being captive for 70 years. Now, this is about the return. This is what this is talking about. In Psalms 126, it says, "When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion," New King James, King James, I believe, says turn, "brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream." Oh, hallelujah. You know, as bad as you felt, as dark a cloud was hanging over you in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the pain, just the polar opposite of that, you will be like coming out of a dream when God turns this thing around. If you will hold on and don't give up, and you'll grit your teeth, keep believing. Come on. God will come through. That's what God does, is he turns things around. You may not like what's going on. I don't either, lots of times. You may not enjoy the trial and the tribulation, the pain. The devil is a bad devil. He doesn't like, he hates you. He's trying to destroy you. But don't you give in to that devil. You submit to God and resist the devil, and the Bible says he will flee from you. But at some point, this thing will turn around, and it'll be like coming out of a dream. Hallelujah. Woo! I think of how excited Maurice was about getting that job. I mean, it's just, I tell you, it just does something to you. Your whole day turns, your whole life turns around when that victory comes and that thing comes. But see, you have to live your life knowing that that victory is going to come. You have to live in a manner of faith and expectation that no matter how bad this is, no matter how bad you feel, God's word's true. He's not a man he'd lie, nor the son of man he'd repent. What he said is going to happen, and God's going to bring this thing and turn it around for me, because he's a God that turns things around. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. May not look good now, but it's going to look better. Yeah. You better go get you some shades, because the future is so bright you got to wear shades. The sun is fixing to shine. Glory. We were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Isn't this good? Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad." Now, this is interesting here. It says, this is New King James. King James, I believe, in a New Living Translation, I think American Standard Version also, where it says, "Bring back our captivity." It says, "Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south." Oh, I like that. Do it again, Daddy. You know what I'm talking about? You ever had kids and you put them on a swing? Oh, you better be in shape. Because you push them one time, what's the next thing? They say, "Oh, do it again, Daddy. Oh, do it again. Oh, just do it again." You know, and you're going, "Okay, okay, okay." And finally, you just have to stop, you know, because do it again. And see, that's the way we should be. Has God ever healed you? Has he ever answered your prayer? Has he ever showed up in your life? Has he ever done anything for you? Well, hey, do it again, Daddy. That's the way we ought to be as children, childlike faith. And that's what he's saying, turn again our captivity. Just turn it around again. The New English translation says, "Restore our well-being as the streams in the south and the streams of the south and the arid desert." In other words, restore our well-being. Put us back in shape again, Lord. Turn us around again. Do it again. One translation says, "Restore our fortunes." I think the New Living Translation says, "Restore our fortunes." Turn it around. See, don't give up when you're in the midst of a trial. Don't quit and lay down when things are going bad, when Mr. Bluebird's not on your shoulder. When the darkness rolls in like a storm, like a cloud, that's the time to dig in. That's the time to say, "Daddy, turn it around. You're the God that turns things around. Man, I'll tell you what, this checkbook's looking bad, but God, I know you're the God that turns things around. That doctor report sure wasn't good, God. I mean, that wasn't what I wanted to hear, but I'm looking to you, oh God, and you are the God that turns things around. I thank you for turning it around for me and turn my morning into dancing." Hallelujah. Isaiah 61. We'll wrap this up. This helping you? Hallelujah. Who is this God we serve? I mean, come on. He is our God, our Father. What does he do? He turns things around. That's what he does. I love this. Isaiah 61, actually, this is what Jesus was quoting when he started his ministry. In Luke, the fourth chapter. You know, in Luke, the fourth chapter, he was tempted of the devil. He's led of the Spirit into the wilderness and fasted 40 days and was tempted of the devil. And he overcame the temptation by speaking the word, just spoke the word to him. And the 14th verse says he came out of the desert. It says he returned in the power of the Spirit. And the 18th verse, it says, of that fourth chapter, I'm just saving you time to turn there. He took a scroll and he found the place where it was written. I love that. That's a camp meeting there. You need to be specific. It's one thing to read through the Bible. It's another thing to, when you're studying and you're looking for stuff, you need to be specific. I read through the Bible, read the Bible all the time. But if I'm studying something, I'm looking. I'm looking for something. And if you have a need, you need to go find what God says about that need. You need to find the promise that covers that need, as it were. It says he found the place where it was written, and he read to them. And it was about him. It was about his ministry and what he was about. You need to find where it's written about you. And there are several things in the Bible written about you, but you need to dig in there and find them. And it said, and he quoted this, partial part of this, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good tidings or good news to the poor or the meek." Hallelujah. So they wouldn't be poor anymore, amen? "He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted or heal the brokenhearted," Luke 4:18 says, "to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Wow. Notice in every one of these cases, there's a need met. There's a turning. Y'all see that? Now, where's the turning on the poor? The gospel. The gospel will get you out of poverty. Do you know that? It'll get you out of poverty. It'll give you hope. It'll teach you how to pray. Teach you God loves you and is for you. And help you get a job. Ask Maurice. Hello? That's what the gospel will do. And Jesus, when he comes on the scene, the gospel, the good news, what he preaches, will heal the brokenhearted. I love that. And those that are captive, it'll turn their captivity and set them free. Show them where the gate is where they can come out of the prison. See, God always meets a need. He doesn't create needs. He meets needs. He turns it around. And it says, "Proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now notice that it says, "day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn." Jesus didn't quote that part. He only quoted the comforting part. Because the vengeance of God comes later. That's judgment. That's going to be in the end times. You and I aren't going to be here. We'll be up in heaven. But it says here that God comforts. God turns things around. And what's the natural end result of that third verse? "To point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord." This is what God does. "And that he may be glorified," because that's what glorifies God, is deliverance and turning and rejoicing and praise. I tell you, you need to change your wardrobe. Get rid of those the spirit of heaviness and put on a garment of praise. Amen. You need the oil of joy for mourning. You need beauty for ashes is what you need. And it comes from God. Because that's what God does. So I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. But I know that if you get through this, something else will happen later. That's just life. We live in a world that's messed up. But there is always hope, even when the next temptation comes, the next trial comes, the next struggle comes, the next battle comes. We're not going from one battle to the next. We're going from one victory to the next. Amen. We're triumphing, one triumph to the next, one deliverance to another deliverance, one testimony to another testimony. That's what we're doing because we're keeping our eyes on God, and our God is the God that turns things around from bad to good, from cursing to blessing. Hallelujah.